Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for Wednesday, January 17th, 2018. Let's go ahead and let's get started here. I want to highlight for everybody some new RFCs, and then also we have a RFC that it looks like is ready to be voted on. So we have, for everyone who's not aware, we have a new RFC for a, improved pony bench that Theo has been working on, which would replace the existing one. We also have an RFC for, that I opened for, removing, the case functions, implementation that currently exists. And, also one for me to remove the, HTTP, server and, I believe Matthias asked him this as well, probably the HTTP client from the standard library as well. So if everybody could have a look at those. And then we have one which is in final comment period, which would mean that it's ready. It's been in for 10 days. It's ready for a vote. That's 115, class and actor field doc strings. Have you had a chance to check this out, Joe and Gordon?
Yes, I've already given my little green check mark of approval.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah, that is right there. I see that now.
First responder.
Yeah, I like it as well.
Okay, so that sounds good. Matthias, what do you think of this one?
Let's merge it. Let's do it. Let's go ahead.
All right, doing that. So there's a bit of housekeeping that needs to be done to update this. Matthias, are you familiar with that housekeeping?
Not yet, but let's check afterwards.
So I can run through it with you real quick. So you need to open an issue for it on the PonyC repo, right?
Yes.
And then update. Update the text of the PR that was merged, right? To point to the issue in question, and also give it the RFC a number based on whatever number we got to when this was merged, which involves updating in the file and renaming the file. So like right now it's, 0000- class actor fields doc string, and that will become 0050. Right.
Okay.
Because it's this is RFC number 50 that was accepted.
Okay.
You'll see commits that for this if you look at it as well, where Theo has done these in the past, right? Where you can see basically it's you put in what the RFC PR was and what the pony issue is and rename the file as part of that.
Okay. Right?
And that's everything. Here, I'll send you. I'm going to send you an example one that you could look at that Theo did.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep. And Cordis here as well. So the other thing, I brought this up, but I wanted to really actually. Let's move on to pull requests and we can come back from there. Looks like Benoit just opened one that folks could take a look at. It's going through CI right now. Forbid impossible pattern matching on generic capabilities. That's 2499. You seem like you're a much better person to be looking at this than me, Joe, that's for sure.
Okay, I'm taking a look right now. Impossible instantiation wrapper.
Mm. I wonder if there's any code that just breaks out there somewhere. He says it doesn't fix any safety issues, so what was it doing before if it couldn't match every possible instantiation? Was it falling through to an else, I guess?
I'm still trying to figure out what's being prevented from that. I'm trying to think of an example that this changes.
Does this change now mean that if we have an array of U8 on the one hand and an array int on the other hand, that they do not, that they cannot be used in a match, or that they don't match at all?
That's already the case, because we don't do covariance or contravariance on type parameters, because it's not clear to the compiler statically, like what, or at least with how smart the compiler currently is, it's not clear to the compiler whether you're using the type parameter in a way that should be covariant or contravariant, or bivariant or something else. The example you gave, I don't think is affected by this. I think it's the example you gave is already something that we can't handle. This one, I think that, so this happens when you're dealing with type parameters. And so I think this is an example of, Matthias, you worked on the, we had the exhaustive match in place, and I think you worked on the version for, like, impossible match, right? Like, where this could never match that. So what this PR does, is, as far as I understand, is make it so that the compiler is detecting when you have a case where, what's a good example of this? Like, let's say that I have a type parameter that allows A or B as a, like, it's a union type of A and B for its constraint. And I'm trying to do a match on where I'm trying to, like, match at runtime if my A or B type is, I'm trying to match it and say, like, check at runtime if it's A, for example. If you instantiated it with a B as the type argument, that would result in a match that could never trigger, right? Like, it would never match a B. And if you would, it with A as the type parameter, as the type argument, it would always match. So I think that's the intention of this, to eliminate case, not allow you to write cases where you're trying to match at runtime on something that for some possible instantiation of the type parameter, like, you know, B in our other example, it would be, this could never match at runtime. So
I didn't follow that at all. I don't see if it's an A or B, how could B never match at runtime?
Because A or B is the constraint for the type parameter. So if you instantiate with B as the type argument, then the reification of that function is going to treat it as if that type is B, right? And that would never match in your match statement. I think this is something that I'm not comfortable merging today. I'd like to
I'd certainly like to get like an example of a case where this happens right now, and what happens currently. Because he said, you know, in practice, issue narrow and pattern can only ever match some reification, like some. I'd like to understand better exactly what this does, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I could type out the example I thought of, but basically, what happens currently is you'd end up with the compiler would generate some code that would, like, it has the possibility of generating code where the match statement would never match at runtime, which is something that we allowed up until recently. But it's not a safety issue, but it's like you probably didn't intend your code to do this, and we're telling you about that issue, which is, you know, what we did in general when we added things like detecting impossible match. This is kind of like an extension of that, but it's the part that makes me kind of iffy about it is that. He's saying that code that uses that pattern should now use if type, but I think that if type is not, I think if type still has some usability issues. There have definitely been times I've been an extensive user of if type and it's awesome. But there have been times when the compiler has not been smart enough, to figure out what's going on when using if type. I have not been necessarily as beautiful as they might have been about filing all those upstream, but it's something that I think if type is also not documented in the tutorial yet because it's kind of in an experimental status.
Yes. Yep.
So I would recommend maybe not merging this until that is until it's no longer until it's at least documented in the tutorial. Is my main concern at the moment. I'll add that to the ticket.
Okay, and you can see the comment I left with, we're not what we discussed. We aren't sure what the commit does, right? We think we know, but we aren't sure. And I'm asking for an example of what would be disallowed with this change, and ideally what happens in the current case, just to make sure we all really are. Because I think from your explanation I might understand, but again, you were saying I think, you know, there seems to be a level of uncertainty where we want to make sure and understand as well. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we have 2024, which looks like Benoit asked for a change. So it looks like what 20? Sorry, no, sorry, a wrong number. The PR is 2494. Compile error when comparing sugared constructors with is
2494. Right? 2494.
Yeah.
Okay. I just finished my comment. Let's get moving on here.
So if I understand what Benoit is saying, I believe what he means is that the refer case on line 1382 there should be a case TK underscore isn't. Yes?
Right.
Okay. So in that case I think I could make that change now and we could merge it.
Yeah? I would like to see a test that covers the isn't case as well.
Okay. That's reasonable. You want to add a comment for that?
Yep, so? I'll do that.
So yeah, there's 2492, which was a work in progress, do not merge one from me. It tried, I wanted to see if we could run all of our OSX CI jobs in a single run, given that they, sometimes can take a while to get OS X machines. And by sometimes, I mean, like on Sunday, there was a problem developing in Travis and it took like 7 or 8 hours to get one, which is extreme, but still sometimes during heavier periods of time, it can take like half an hour or something to get one. And when we have three of them, that can end up meaning that, you know, it takes a while. But it looks like the job was killed because it reached the max. I'm gonna take a look at it and see how far it got, but I'm probably gonna close that, and I think we'd be left with the each of the LLVMs being run, both release and debug tests within them, and it might take too long for the others to happen.
Do we want to consider removing some items from that matrix and like kind of as far as the. Because we had the dimensions of like release and build and the LLVM versions, right? So we have a two-dimensional matrix. We want to consider removing some of those cells from that table because, like with the assumption that they're covered by testing against Linux in those configurations. That's just an idea.
So, things we could do. There is. In the consolidated one that I did, there were six, right? And if we leave it as it is where we start up one CI job for each of the LLVMs, I don't think it makes any sense to drop either release or debug. And I don't think that we want to drop any of the LLVM versions. Would you agree with that statement, Joe?
I would leave it up to you because I think maybe we could drop an LLVM version from OS X. Like, I don't know, maybe just because the idea being that, like, it's easier to get your hands on the latest LLVM versions there. And it's not as varied as Linux is. I don't know. Like, but I would leave it up to you guys. I'm not a Mac user, so I don't have a lot of context on that.
I'd probably be more comfortable with dropping either, like, and have it only do, like, the release builds than the debug one, like than dropping an LLVM version. I think we'd be more likely to run into problems based on an LLVM version than release versus debug. I can't remember us very often running into problems that were only in debug or only in release for anything.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember a few cases, but I don't think it was anything that was specific to OS X, right? So, like, if we're still running those on the Linux CI matrix, then I think we are probably covered enough.
Yeah.
So where we drop one of them. Yeah. From the
so I'll take a look and I'll propose something. Like, I haven't really looked closely at what happened with that consolidated one. I mean, for all I know, there could have been something that took an extra long amount of time in there or hung or something. So I'll need to take a look at that, but yeah, I'll consider that we could possibly drop things as well, right, and see what happens.
I had a job that took over 24 hours.
Well, so that was also at the beginning of Travis having, they had starting on Sunday through yesterday when everything completely exploded on them last night, they had system problems that were building up in their system where they had increasingly growing backlogs. When they shut all of the jobs down last night to, I believe from what I saw was they installed a new version of RabbitMQ to help clear their backlog out and cut stuff out. There were over 12,000, I think I got up to like 12 to 14,000 Linux jobs backlogged. And there were like 6,000 OS X jobs backlogged at that point. And I noticed that backlog building on Sunday, and if you look at their status site, you can see all of this started on Sunday. I only noticed it first for OS X because there's considerably fewer resources, so you tend to notice the OS X stuff first. But they had like a system-wide problem that ended up where folks were noticing it on Linux as well. So the last 3 days for Travis was a somewhat extraordinary situation, but there are still times when like it can take quite a while to get OS X resources, and having three having to grab three per PR can be a little rough and can definitely slow things down. But the stuff that happened over the weekend, starting on Sunday, that was especially bad. But their entire system more or less and starting on Sunday worked its way towards a complete meltdown last night, where they shut everything off for a little while and restarted it all.
Oh, okay.
All right. 2488. This one is from Wink. Add U64 to options command and spec and command spec.
It's a very relatively straightforward change. Although just today I noticed I hadn't even realized that U128 is also part of the Pony standard, and you know, maybe I should add that to that change also to have it be complete. Or maybe we take this as it is, and then I can add that 128 too.
I'm not sure if we want to add 128-bit support. I don't know. It seems a little bit. It seems like possibly a little bit esoteric, but I mean, it's hard to predict what people are going to need, but 128 support is hacked in on some platforms. Like some platforms support native instructions for it, and other ones, it's going to be like hacked in and slower. It's not to say that, I don't know. It's a little bit hard for me to come to a firm decision about that. At any rate, I think this.
Whatever people think doesn't matter to me.
I think this change looks straightforward to go ahead and be merged as is.
I agree. I think it looks. I'm just finishing it up. Yeah. Yeah, looks good.
It sure seems like there's a lot of duplicated code. I'm just curious if someday those were changed. Some of those things may be able to be changed to generics. Just as I was going through it, it was like, wow, this is basically the same thing. Is that true or false, do you think?
It's possible that, the thing is, I think the code is already using generics to a certain extent, but it's possible that using if type could be the answer here in many cases, like being able, like I think I've been using if type as a sort of tool for doing that sort of thing, right, where you have a bunch of types that all, or a bunch of methods that all work almost the same, but they have some implementation specific details for certain types. So it's possible that it might be able to be refactored using if type. As we discussed a little bit earlier in the call, if type is still a little bit hairy. There are some cases it doesn't handle as well as it should yet. So I'm hesitant to recommend somebody goes down that road unless they're interested, but I hesitate to recommend it because it might be full of like pitfalls and blockers related to some of the if type hairiness, and it might not even be possible. It hasn't really been evaluated yet, but
it was just a thought as I was going through it. It was like, wow, this looks exactly like that. But I used that ref count. In the following one, I had used the I had to do a cast, do it U64 from a 32 or whatever it was, and it was like, oh, that's weird. So anyway, I asked about it, and so I came up with this change.
Yeah, I definitely get where you're coming from. I personally get really I get really deep in the weeds sometimes on that sort of change, like saying, like, can I make it drier, right? In Pony and some other languages like Pony, I think sometimes you reach a limit where it's the answer is like, no, you're making things worse. But sometimes you can, right? And I always investigate it. So when I'm writing code myself, so I definitely I get where you're coming from, and I agree it's something that could be explored. There's probably opportunities for it using if type in at least some of these places, but yeah.
So before I merge this, Joe, a quick question, right? I feel like add U64 to options command in command spec is a little inside baseball for what would appear in the changelog. Can you think of what might be a better changelog entry that I could change the PR title to?
Yeah, probably add U64 type to CLI package, which I'll go ahead and change it right now.
Oh, okay. And then you want to go ahead and merge it after that? I added the added label to it.
Okay, will do.
I have a quick question. If I can ask real quick. What happens if we give a negative number, but it's declared as a U64 in the command spec? Does it trap it and we end up with a crazy value or anything like that?
This is how there's no signed versions, and it seems that you do an eye on it afterwards. I'm not sure what the philosophy is, but everything is unsigned.
It will do the same thing currently that you would do if you assigned that crazy number to U64 in terms of wrapping in general inside it anyway, which at this point I believe somebody opened an RFC for it, but I can't remember, to add some possible stuff where people could choose to take the performance hit in order for protection on number overflow, underflow, etc. But right now it would do what Pony does, which is more or less basically what the underlying machine type would do, where if you overflow it.
Okay.
And I-64 is tested, and U-64 are tested here, so.
Yeah, I think, you know, what happens is if you, in general, if you specify -1, for example, on an unsigned type, you end up with, which you can do in Pony literal code right now, you can say -1, and it's the same thing as if you had written U64.maxValue. Because it's the, you wrap around to the other side of the range, and you're now, one below zero, which is the maximum value for an unsigned.
And I-64 are paired up here pretty much everywhere, so.
Yeah, my concern was having a correct usage of value, if I can say, it's the developer responsibility usually, but with command line arguments, sort of gives that to the user. So maybe if he's not careful, he can end up with a program doing weird thing and not be aware of that. That's just a concern, but it's not maybe important. I will let you judge.
Yeah, I think that that's certainly a concern. I think that that's something that really, I don't think it's something where we should be addressing it in the CLI package, but we should have a way for people to decide whether they want to have protection against overflows for numbers in general inside of Pony, based on safety versus performance considerations for, doing overflow checking all the time.
Okay, fine.
It's certainly, overflow checking and underflow checking is absolutely awesome, but it definitely has a performance impact that people may or may not want to take on. Like, where you can, there are other ways other than having it happen all the time that you could possibly do. But, yeah, I believe there's a PR open to discuss.
Yeah, I did. It's me who opened it quite a time ago, so yeah. Okay, fine.
Okay, we're at the halfway point here. Does anybody have anything they want to bring up and discuss? I certainly do, but I'm going to let other folks go first. Anybody have anything?
I'd like to discuss the OpenSSL 1.1 support at some point.
Okay. Well, that dovetails kind of nicely with the thing that I wanted to discuss. I have talked to a couple people about this, and I sent you a private message about it on IRC Wink. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Okay. So, I talked to a couple people about this. I wanted to talk to some more folks who are in here about this. I from the experience of watching what Wink has gone through with OpenSSL as part of the standard library and how it gets built in and some of the oddness that people will run into from that, it's my belief that we shouldn't have things in the standard library that require additional third-party libraries. So that would be the SSL stuff, the crypto stuff, the regex stuff, etc. I think that supporting different versions of those libraries should be something, like if you have like some external C library that you need to support, should really be the purview of that library, and that adding it to the adding those things, which in the end are nice to have things to the standard library, is adding a level of complexity, which is just could explode into a really painful level of stuff. And we shouldn't have to, like, to support a new version of OpenSSL, for example, that shouldn't have to require releasing a new version of Pony. That just seems wrong to me. I should be able to update a library unto itself and have it work rather than how we have it right now. Wanted to get people's thoughts on that. I'm planning on opening an RFC for it, but I wanted to get more feedback in general from folks.
I would totally agree with you. I do totally agree with you. I think I might have suggested that at some point along the way. It just seems crazy. But as it sits now, it is part of the library, and you can't use Pony effectively. Well, I don't know about effectively. You can't build the source code and run the tests on Arch because of that.
Yep, I agree. I think certainly that the work that you've done so far is good, and I think it should definitely be merged, right? And then I could open an RFC for discussion of how would we pull these packages out? What does it mean to test them and version them, et cetera? And we could start down that. But I think that your changes should go in because it's an improvement for what there is right now. And I wouldn't want to make people on Arch or other platforms which have wisely switched to OpenSSL 1.1 to have to suffer through pain while we figure out like what it would mean to remove these things from the standard library as part of a general, here's a rule for if you have these external type of libraries which have their own versioning schemes that could break, that we don't want to add those things to the standard library, right? So yeah, I definitely think that your stuff should go in.
Does Sable have support for build scripts at the moment? Like running stuff when you compile?
No, it has nothing like that right now. It doesn't. I think that when I open an RFC for this, I think there'd probably be a lot of discussion. And part of the reason why I wanted to talk about this a little bit here is so I could just put like, hey, there's going to be some unanswered questions. Like, I think that's a good one. Like, Paul, like, is the way that we do that, does Stable become responsible for running build scripts? Like that's an important, you know, thing there. How do we build those things, et cetera, like that?
So one option, I think, okay, so right now Pony Stable does not handle transitive dependencies, right? Like, so just set a baseline, like if I have an application A that depends on library B, and that library B has a dependency on library C, that's not something that Stable handles right now. It basically, at the application A layer, you would need to list out the flat list of all of the libraries required, including B and C, even if you only have a transitive dependency on C and not a direct dependency.
Which is like how Stack works with Haskell.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that tool, but yeah, so it's a simple way to make it work that without a lot of like, you know, complication resulting from like traversing the graph, basically. So it's a really simple way for it to work. Anyway, but with this model, it means that your application, when you're compiling it, knows about all of the libraries that you need to fetch and import. So I think that means that what I was thinking about while you guys were talking about this was that maybe Pony Stable could have another parameter that you add to your bundle.json that allows you to specify particular define like so the, like the what's the word I'm looking for the compile time defines for ifdef. Those custom defines that we're using to switch between the code for OpenSSL 1.0 versus 1.1. If you had a way to specify that in your bundle.json, then you could do that when you were compiling the overall application and sort of like linking that bit of information into the same place where you specify which version of the library you're depending on. And that might be a reasonable place for it if we don't have a generic way of doing actual detection of what shared library is present on the system.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think from listening to this, I think my thought would be is that I would open an RFC for the general policy and what would change with the unanswered question saying, you know, this RFC exists in order to get feedback on this high-level idea. And if we were actually going to implement this, then we need another RFC where somebody has gone through the steps of making this work, where personally they pulled SSL out of like the standard library, right? Put it into its own library and then work through using with Stable and everything else what has to happen, what the changes are in order to get this to build and work properly, and could present that as an RFC as one possible way to go about addressing it. We would have like a concrete thing to address, because I think like your idea is great. I never would have thought of it, Joe, right? And I'm sure probably we could there would be lots of other things that might come up as well during an actual implementation that I think would merit actual conversation during as part of an RFC, rather than just, okay, we adopted this RFC, let's see what somebody comes back with based on our high level idea of, oh, we'll add this to Stable, et cetera, and whatnot. Does that sound reasonable?
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Sounds good.
Joe?
Yes.
Okay. So I will open the high level RFC with the idea of, hey, these are at least some unanswered questions. This one is to get like people to accept this. It results in an issue, maybe it doesn't. Probably no issue yet. It would be this is one where, hey, now, okay, somebody has to go out and try it, but this is for getting feedback. You know, we let it percolate for a couple of weeks, make sure everybody has a chance to think about it. You know, it goes out where folks could comment on it, et cetera, and we could go from there. Okay, so did you have Wink, did you have anything specifically that was not covered for your OpenSSL stuff that you wanted to talk about with this, or was that I think this is ready and I'd like to get it merged today?
I'd like to get it merged as soon as possible.
All right, so let's then, shall we go take a look at, everybody, let's look at 2415, support OpenSSL 1.1. There is, I believe, the FAQ would need to change. Yes, yes, Wink?
Yes, FAQ,
I don't know how I missed this. I missed that. Oh, you opened an issue for it. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Joe or anybody else, have you had a chance to look at this yet?
Oh, I've looked at it before. Let me see the current state. So Diffin's concerns have been resolved. Is that true?
Yeah, that's yeah. My understanding.
Okay.
My only concern with this is that I think we should add OpenSSL 1.1 somehow into the build metrics so that we actually test OpenSSL 1.0 and 1.1. So we actually test this when running the standard lib tests.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I think there are no or very few tests only for SSL, but we should definitely...
When you run standard lib and you, it's the only thing that uses it in the test, but it does get exercised.
So
if there's... So if there's a if you put 1.1 in the environment and then click the switch on the compiler, it'll use it.
Assuming it exists on the machine. Matthias, could you open an issue for that? And
yes.
And when I have time in a few days, I'll figure out a Docker environment that can run in Circle CI, where I think let's see if everybody agrees with this. This doesn't need to be tested with multiple versions of LLVM. We could do this with just LLVM like 3.1, and then we'd want to do both the release and debug standard library tests, and then that should be really probably what we need. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, I could certainly add that.
You mean run it on LLVM 3.9.1 or?
I'll see what I'll see what I can put together. If I can take like the existing LLVM 3.9.1.1 and use OpenSSL 1.1 with that, I'd probably go with that. Because 3.9.1 is the officially non-experimental supported one.
I haven't tested that at this point. I've been doing my testing on RxJS users, all of the M5, so.
I'm sorry, could you say that again? And Matthias, I muted you because I think that was your keyboard that was really loud and I couldn't hear Wink over it.
I've been testing an Arch, which is basically with LLVM 5.
Yep. Okay. Yep. So I'll see what I'll see what I can get set up and we can set up a CI job for that.
Okay.
So, so that seems like it's good. And, and you've, Wink, could you open an issue for the change? Sorry, not an issue. Could you open a PR for the change to the FAQ on the website and drop me a note in IRC when you do that, and I can merge the two of these at the same time. That sound good to everyone? And once it's in, Matthias, I'll work sometime between now and Sunday on getting a test set up for it. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Because you know I'm the what's the person who does all of the CI setup that's not on Windows? What's the name for that person other than oh woe is them? Oh, hey, Gordon's gone. Oh, he doesn't get to enjoy the pain of that. How is it? You know, two things I really hate during the course of my career are release engineering and setting up CI systems. How come I keep ending up doing this? What? Oh, yeah. Why does this keep happening to me? It seems unfair to me.
It's probably the relationship probably goes in the direction, right? Like you hate it because you have to do it.
Oh yeah, this is true. Oh, I have to say that that setting up stuff for Circle CI with the fact that it's in a Docker container and I can run that Docker container locally and figure out what's going on. Like I appreciate that aspect of Circle CI very 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 much for that. Very much. And, you know, and now like, damn, I wish we'd been doing all of the testing on Travis inside Docker as well. That could have saved a lot of pain. But
there's one other feature of Circle CI that I've used in the past, and that is if you have some problem, you can SSH into Circle CI.
Yes.
And investigate on the environment. As, yep. You know, I don't have Ubuntu environment as my natural thing, and so that was always a problem, and Circle CI at least allowed you to look at that. Yeah. That was a feature I liked.
Travis has that for their private infrastructure that runs on travis.com rather than travis.org. They don't have it on the public one because anybody can get access to your public one. And if they put the debug button on there, then anybody could potentially get access to any secrets that you might be exposing through environment variables. I talked to them at one point about getting a debug button on stuff, but the issue there was then, you know, you can't have any secrets which might be exposed, which in the case of everything that we have right now, does have that. But yeah, we used the debug one once. Do you remember that when I set you up when the Wallaroo stuff was still on a private one and I set you up with a server to debug some weird ass Travis problem, Joe? And I also got Benoit once. That was kind of nice. But
yeah, it was related to the compile order of files, which was a fun one because different OSs have files listed in different orders.
Yeah, that was a hell of a
back to the change. I wanted to point out that I added one thing a few days ago, which out when you do the Pony version, I output the state of PIC and OpenSSL. So you see the version string as you see it today, and then I added another line underneath that to put out the current state. Subsequently, I've come up with another technique, but people may or may not like that. That's one thing. Also, I've documented, I've got a little documentation about the OpenSSL, using the D or and passing 1.1 or OpenSSL 0.9. There's some changes in the UI that people may want to look at.
It changes in the UI?
Yeah, and like I said, so if you do Pony C -- version, you're going to see some extra, another line of information.
Right, Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. I thought you meant something perhaps beyond that as well.
No. Yeah. And updated some of the help and such.
Hey Joe, can you remind me of something? Do we put braces on the next line or on the same line in the Pony C style?
For a function or for an if?
For like an if.
Same line.
Same line? Okay.
Hang on. I'm doubting myself.
Are you referring to the C code or?
Yeah, in the C code.
Oh, no, sorry.
The brace is on the next line.
Yeah, it's on the next line.
Okay. Good. All right. Okay. So, and the same is true for else, right?
Else is on the same line.
Else ends up going between.
Okay. So what's on line 318 in his PR of options.c is correct, yes?
Looking.
I just want to make sure real quick.
Which change? Which of the changes?
It's in options.c, line 318.
Sorry, I'm trying to find the PR again. There it is.
Okay. That's the general style.
Yep.
Anything else?
Okay, good.
On one line, but all the braces lined up.
Thank you on the website, and I'll merge both at the same time. Okay, support OpenSSL 1.1. That all looks good. Okay, anybody have anything else they want to go over, discuss, a PR issue they would like to raise during the 8 minutes that we have left?
I think Paul was about to say something earlier.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was wondering, does anyone know what the process is to add a language to Travis, like as a first-class support? Because they have, like, triple them, but when you want to set up a Pony project, it's a bit annoying. You have download Pony, download table.
I do not know what the process for that is, Paul. I think you'd have to ping them and see. I switched the library starter pack over from Travis to CircleCI, right? And if you took a look at that and decided that you wanted to use CircleCI for whatever you have, you should be able to use the Docker container, right? Which would come with Pony in it, and then your stuff could be tested inside of that potentially, maybe. I don't know. It depends on your project. I haven't done it for anything other than, you know, a basic library, but I'm looking at it for Wallaroo stuff where we'd have to install additional dependencies as well.
Yeah, that's personally how I've been managing it in the past, is use the Pony C master and Pony C release Docker images and do my testing in those. I also pasted a link in the chat. I did a quick Google search and found apparently they have a concept of Travis CI has a concept for community support for a language. So it looks like at the bottom of that post that I linked to, they have stuff you can go to. like references how to proceed with volunteering to support a particular language. Personally, I think it might be the most bang for our buck to just focus on the Docker images as a way of testing, but it's all up to, you know, if somebody wants to volunteer to support it, I think.
Nobody wants to raise their hand.
did that answer your question, Paul?
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Anything else for the last 5 minutes? Otherwise, I'm going to call it and say we've accomplished some stuff today, and yay.
Just a small thing, if nobody minds. There is this issue of PR from Codec for embedding the source code in generated documentation.
Oh, yes.
And there we do some jibber jabber to add some files to the binary distributions and mm-hmm. Discover them relative to the Pony C.
Yep.
And this is a little bit not awkward, but brittle from my point of view. And a possible solution I pointed out in this pull request is to use a custom theme that is being released to the Python as a Python package to the Python package index, because this is how mkdocs stuff works. And so we could put all the JavaScript and CSS and templating in there.
So I think the problem that is that, well, one of the things that we don't want to do is we don't want to be eventually we don't want to be tied to mkdocs. So that could be a thing. But basically what you're saying is we need to tell people to install not just mkdocs, but also this other package as well.
Exactly.
Which would then install stuff where?
The same place where mkdocs is installed. So wherever there are Python installation puts packages, be it in the system, be it in a virtual env or wherever.
Have you tried this?
No, but the documentation is pretty clear. So I am 99% sure that this works smoothly.
How is that less brittle than, I mean, this is stuff which gets used in the stuff that we're generating for mkdocs to use, right?
Yes.
So it's the Pony compiler that needs to know about this stuff, right? Or that it needs to know where it is and put the correct location for it, right?
It only needs the name of the theme. So we could call it Pony Lang theme, and then it only needs to add the name to the mkdocs.yaml or JSON that is being generated. And so all the assets like CSS and JavaScript is then in this package, and the Pony C doesn't have to deal with any additional files beyond the actual binary. So DocGen will still work when you, for example, on Windows, when you only have the binary, the Pony C binary, which is one installation method listed.
So like the extra.js that's there currently, this would be part of the theme?
Yes. So the theme contains HTML templates, CSS, and JavaScript.
This sounds like a very reasonable thing you're saying.
To me, so I wanted to ask for feedback on this, because if this is acceptable for everybody, then I can create an example package and set up a proof of concept how this could work.
So would you want to hold off on Codec's PR until that's done and it could be updated to it? Or is this something where once the rebase once it's rebased against master so that it could be merged, that we would go ahead with his, and then we would switch off of it in the future version when the other stuff is ready.
So either way, I'm fine either way. So, but I think if we do if we want to do a release, and so I wouldn't want to have a release where we need to include those files. I don't know if it works for all the, if this finding those files works for all the installation methods that we support. But if it does, then we can do it. We can also merge Codex PR and then add the Pony theme, the external Pony theme later.
It should. It should work, and it should be in the, I believe it should be in the releases as well. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly the Python, the pip package sounds better to me. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Sorry, the MK docs package, the theme. Joe? I know you were involved at least in the part of the conversation where we came up with the idea of, oh, we got the stuff in docs, right? And we could copy it over.
Yeah, it seems reasonable to me. I haven't kept up with all this, but yeah.
Matthias, do you think that's something you could do reasonably quickly and we wouldn't delay this PR for too long because of that?
Yes, I can do it before Friday.
Codec, are you okay with waiting a little bit on that? It certainly would probably be much less.
Yeah, I'm totally agree with
okay. That. Okay, all right. So I'll let you two coordinate on that, and then you can ping us when it's ready. Sound good?
Okay. Yes.
All right. Awesome.
Boom. Thank you very much.
Where were you, Matthias, when Joe and I were sending him down the wrong path? Where were you to stop us from telling him to do something which apparently was not a good idea?
I am so sorry. I think I missed the sync call.
And then Joe and I were like, oh, we could do blah, 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 blah. I think it's mostly my fault. Joe just assisted with the, oh, yeah, you could probably do X, Y, Z if you wanted to do insert Sean's probably not very good idea.
I think Matthias just wanted to let us learn something, right?
Yeah.
But you, I didn't learn anything.
It's not about the goal. It's the way that it's the.
That makes sense. Okay. All right.
One quick question on Dipping's dynamic schedule of scaling. I see that it has a do not merge.
Yep.
Quick reason why.
I'm sorry.
Why is it do not merge?
Because he marked it as do not merge because he didn't want it merged yet.
Oh, okay. So he did that.
Yeah, it was not clean at the time that I opened it here and I planned to clean up. So I asked for the do not merge label.
Yep. But and then on Dippin's dynamic scheduler one, he didn't want it merged yet. He's currently in Italy right now. I think he'll be very excited to see your results when he gets back, and he'll probably say that it's ready to merge, but I wouldn't want to take it off and merge it without hearing from him in case he might have had some things that he wanted to clean up or something.
That's it. Just wondering.
Cool. All right. Thanks, everyone, and see you next week. All right.
See you.